Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Honestly, if you guys could just stand again. No, I'm just kidding. If you could just keep clapping just another second longer. Studio, how's it going today? How you guys doing? Awesome. So I'm just going to tell you right now, from the heritage that I hail from, as it relates to my journey in the church, we're a talkative bunch. So feel free to just shout at me. Just talk back to me. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been to a church like that? Where people, hey man, come on, let's go. That kind of stuff. Just fires me up. Honestly, even if it's not sincere, just say it. You know. Well, I'm super excited to be here. I think it goes without saying, but in all sincerity, this is such a tremendous honor for me. I am keenly aware of how many incredible leaders that we have in this house. It's actually, Eric, when we first came to studio, that it was staggering to me how many like high-level leaders we had a part of this community. And I was like, oh my gosh, what kind of church is this? And so to have the opportunity to speak when I know so many of you could do such a wonderful job is really an honor. So thanks for having me. I had a bit of a momentous occasion this last week. My wife and I, we hit 9 years in our marriage. Hey! That's right. I love you. Melissa, she's got my back. So we were fortunate enough, we were in the Caribbean this last week for a week. It was the first time we ever took a week away from the kids. We have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I had just an unbelievably remarkable experience on our anniversary day. So that was Thursday, and we started the day off right. I mean, we're in Antigua. The beaches are pristine, and Aaron's like, let's get massages. So we start the day with an hour-long couples massage. Can I get an amen, somebody? And I'm like, I know it's going to be a good day. And so we go to the beach around lunchtime. It's getting the hottest part of the day. Aaron wants to lay out. That doesn't appeal to me at all. And so I want to sit in the shade and just read a book. And when you have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, how many of you know that's a luxury? So I'm reading, and all of a sudden, what feels to me like a supernatural experience takes place. Because I happen to look out on the water, and in the middle of one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, two peacocks start swimming at me in the ocean. Bizarre. And I'm going, there is no way this is happening. And I'm looking, and I'm like, there's two freaking peacocks. And they're swimming right at me. This is like the most magical anniversary ever. And I'm like, I don't know how, but somehow this is prophetic, right? So I'm frantic. I'm reaching for my phone, and I can't decide, do I need to call Erin, because she's about 100 feet away laying out, and say, babe, you got to come see these peacocks, and risk not getting it on camera, or do I just, you know, let go of that and get a good video or picture? And just as, I mean, I stand up hurriedly, like I am frantic, because I'm like, this is the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me. I get real close to the beach, and I'm looking out, and this is what I saw. Those are two people in purple bathing suits with snorkels. But if you squint your eyes just enough. So you might ask, well, Stephen, what does this have to do with generosity? Absolutely nothing. I just wanted you to appreciate the intellectual prowess of the person with the microphone today. So that's what you got going for you today. For all of our guests, I'm so sorry. Please come back. Eric does a much better job than I do. But alas, I'm the peacock guy. So powerful stuff, powerful stuff. Oh my gosh. I love this conversation so much. You know, today what I want to specifically focus on is the realm of generosity and abundance. And how many of you here would say today, you know, Stephen, I think it would be really nice to walk in abundance and in the favor that the Lord has for us. Amen? I think that's like every hand should be going up, right? And I'm so grateful for what Michael shared at the end of worship with that painting. I'm also keenly aware that there are a lot of people in this room that they're in a season of struggle right now. I've actually had conversations with some of you, and you're not exactly sure how you're going to pay your mortgage. And so if you are in that space and this is not a financial fun time for you right now, I just want to remind you that the fundamental nature of seasons is that they change. And I honestly had not planned on going here, but I've really felt in worship to share this with you all. You know, Eric mentioned I started a business 4 years ago now, 3 years, I don't know. I had actually owned a couple businesses in Atlanta before we moved up here. And we moved to this region, and this was around 2018, and that season ended up being the worst season of our lives. My wife and I, 6 months into my wife's pregnancy, was our first little boy. He was stillborn 6 months into her pregnancy. That was a week after we moved to Greenville. In the middle of that season, I have all but lost myself. I had fallen into a season of compromise and sin, and everything, it felt like everything around me was dying. There was so much shame. There was so much sadness. I wasn't ever at a place where I would describe myself as suicidal, but I just remember thinking, I'd be okay if I didn't go on. And I'm sharing this for a very specific reason this morning. Normally, I wouldn't go this deep this fast. But I'm aware that there are people in the middle of that, in the middle of that dark season right now that you would say, Stephen, everywhere I look, it looks like winter. I feel like the tree that's not only not sprouting, but is like non-existent. But you know, the most beautiful thing happened for us. Just like I said a moment ago, the season changed. And what God began to do is he used the soil of our disappointment, of all of our pain, our hurt, even our sin, to create the most beautiful story of redemption that I could, I wish I had an hour to describe to you. He began to pour out his blessing and favor. And as I was in worship, God reminded me again of Luke 15 with the prodigal son. And at his lowest moment, he finally decides to come back home. And this is so powerful. It says in Luke 15, this is verse 17. When the prodigal son came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. That's where some of you feel like you are financially right now. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And so he got up and went to his father. But this is the part that I want you to focus on. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. It's not the son running, it's the father running to the son. Threw his arms around him and kissed him. Says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. How many of you know they threw a party, a glorious celebration? The son goes from having nothing because he squandered it all into inheriting this unbelievable wealth and prosperity and blessing on the hills of the worst season of his life. And so I just want to declare to you that maybe the season that you're in feels dark and hopeless and like you're not going to get out. But it isn't the end of the story. And what if this is the beginning of the father seeing you from afar off and with compassion in his eyes running to you? And he sees what you don't. He knows the end of the story. Amen? All right, that's nothing to do with my sermon. There you go. So I mentioned earlier, I love this conversation so much. For as long as I can remember, since I was a little boy, hearing stories of radical generosity was profoundly inspiring to me. And I would hear stories, sometimes it would be relatively small, of maybe a family blessing another family in need with $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. And maybe in a disproportionate way, I was so impacted by that. But then I would hear larger stories of families donating tens of thousands of dollars, or maybe giving a vehicle to another family who was in need. I've heard of stories of people paying for vacations and giving really extravagant gifts. All of these types of testimonies that we hear, for me, I don't know what it was, but even at a young age, I remember thinking, God, let that be me. I want to be that person. One of the coolest stories I ever heard, especially as an entrepreneur and business owner, was a businessman who they had had a super successful year. And so what the guy decided to do was at their Christmas party where they typically give out bonuses, as he came to the party with a briefcase full of $1 million. And he just starts handing out stacks of cash. Now, I have two employees in the room right now, and so they just feel just the unction of the Holy Spirit right now. Just, yes, Lord, let it be. Glory to God. There's something happening on this side of the room. But in all seriousness, I heard that story 3 or 4 years ago for the first time, and I said, Lord, I want to do that one day. And honestly, guys, I believe I will. To what employees, I'm not sure yet, but but these stories had such a profound impact on my life, but I could not reconcile it with the inherent fear that I felt towards finances. Now, we've already said every single week, and I'm just going to remind us that when we talk about generosity, we don't just mean money and finances, right? It applies to your talent, your gifts, your time, your connections, all of those things. But if I could talk to you about money, because I do believe it's the primary expression of generosity, I think most of us at some point or another, and if we're being really honest, this is a reoccurring issue, struggle as it relates to fear and finances. How many of you have ever been there before? It's like, I want to be a radically generous person, but I'm looking at my bank account and going, I don't even know how we're going to get groceries this week. Gosh, I remember when Aaron and I first got married, our bank account, I'm pretty sure we were in the negative, which isn't that so fun? It's like, I'm not doing great now. Let's get those charges, you know, when you overdraw. Isn't that the best? It's like, thank you, Bank of America. So kind. And I had a flat tire. And at the time, I think it was like $20-something to just patch a flat tire. We couldn't afford it. And so generosity that was extended to me as a buddy of mine took us over and paid to get our flat tire patched. So I've been there. I get it. I know that season. But even despite my desire to be super generous and to do extravagant things for people, I had this fear inside of me, like, man, I don't know that if I do this, am I being irresponsible? Am I somehow hurting my family? Am I hurting my future by not investing, whatever? And you have all of those scenarios playing in your head, right? But what I realized is that God was taking me on a journey. And I need to say this morning, I guess we're getting close to the lunchtime now, hey? I'm so grateful for the heritage that I have. I want to honor, I have both sets of parents here. Aaron's parents and my parents are here. If you guys, just clap for them, come on. I can honestly say I would not be up here today if it weren't for you guys. You know that season. Thank you for not giving up on me. And as it relates to this conversation, thank you for embodying generosity. We are very fortunate to grow up with wonderful, godly parents. And what I realized about, especially my dad, is that he was a sneaky giver. Y'all ever met those sneaky givers? They're like doing stuff left and right, and you don't know. And then as I got older as a teenager and a young man, I realized, like, oh, you were doing this behind the scenes the whole time. But it created a foundation for God to begin to work his character and his nature in me. See, I knew he was starting something in me, and that was the seeds that was laid for me. What a blessing that is. I want to go to a familiar passage because it's going to kind of help us walk through that journey of fear. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Brittany, if you'll pull that up. I love this text. There's so much here. We don't have near enough time to go into it in great depth, but we're going to do our best. Paul says here, so the context of this conversation, he's writing to the church of Corinth. He's already visited them, and he's coming back, and he intends to take up an offering for the poor. So he says in the preceding verses to this, like, hey, we have an agreement. You guys have said that you're going to raise some money. You're going to take up an offering, and I need you to be really generous. And it almost sounds like he's saying, don't embarrass me. It's really kind of a funny text. So on the heels of saying, like, listen, give generously, this is what Paul says. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's a good word. I'm encouraged already. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I love this phrase, and I think it's critical for the conversation. I'm going to read it again. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. I know some of you came to this conversation, you had your defenses up, like, Don't get in my personal business, bro. Don't try to get me. Here's the good news for you guys. The pressure's off. The pressure's off. The conversation of generosity was never meant to be about compulsion, about obligation or manipulation. It's supposed to be the natural overflow of what God's done in our lives. It comes from a conviction that everything that he's done for me is a gift. In James, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. It means every single thing about my life that is good came from him. And so when I said yes to Jesus, I said, this is yours. Everything that I have is yours. And so generosity is not something so much as I do, as now it's something that I am. Because it's who he is. I don't have to work to be generous. It's the overflow of the heart. It's what spending time with him creates. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Can we just appreciate that language? All things, at all times, having all that you need. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I love this because I think that we have a tendency to want to make it either or. We either want to make the conversation all about finances or all about the spiritual gifts that God gives us. But Paul's really clear here in verse 10. He says he's going to increase your store of seed, finances, resource, right? But he's also going to enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. How many of you know that some of the greatest benefits we get in the context of abundance is actually spiritual gifts? It's spiritual fruit. It's Galatians chapter 5, right? It's righteousness, peace, joy, self-control. I don't know about you guys, but I would much rather have the fruit of the Spirit than have abundance with finances. But the good news is you don't have to pick. What good is prosperity if you don't have self-control? I don't know about you, but if I got $1 million in the bank and I don't have any peace, it doesn't mean very much. But now we're coming to a season, I believe, for Studio Church and hopefully the church abroad, where God wants to pour out abundance. And he doesn't want to just pour out abundance. He wants to give us the character to sustain it so that we don't fall into greed, we don't fall into self-absorption or arrogance, but we can walk in humility, love, and radical generosity to affect the lives of the people around us and our community. I'm stirred up today, you guys. I wish... Oh, you guys, 2 more hours. That's it. Let's keep going. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love this next verse. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You know what one of the most beautiful things about God is how multivalent his nature and character is. God will accomplish 10 things to the one thing that you thought you were participating in. We see the gift that we gave someone, we're like, okay, we're helping that family. You have no idea the ripple effect of what you've just created both here and in eternity. And so what God is doing is so much bigger than we even have vision for. We just have the privilege, the unique opportunity to participate in it. I'm going to stop there for now, Brittany. So I mentioned this journey of fear and trying to work my way out of it. And I realized that at the end of the day, as humans, we have two different dimensions that we're constantly interacting with that are constantly pulling on us. One is what we've described as abundance, and the two is what is commonly referred to as a scarcity mindset. And I think that I've noticed that a lot of believers that I interact with that would love to see God's favor and abundance in their life, they want God to bless them, but they don't yet have the character to sustain it. They're saying, God, please pour out your finances. Do you realize that for God to do that, when you don't have the character is actually something that ultimately would crush you. I realized a long time ago that it's actually mercy for God to withhold for a season so that we could develop our character that when it comes, we can sustain it. It's mercy. And so I had to wrestle with, like, what is it in me that isn't healthy, that isn't the way that you see things? And I realized I had this scarcity mentality, this scarcity mindset. I want to describe it to you. A scarcity mindset says this: we subconsciously believe that we are competing for resources and that there is not enough. Now, I've never heard anyone say that, but that's how we function. Therefore, someone else's blessing decreases my opportunity to receive from God. Why else would we get jealous when we see someone get the job, the car, the opportunity, the vacation that we wanted? It's because of what we feel like is, oh, I missed out. But how is that possible with a king with infinite resource? And even more so, aren't we on the same team? That means your victory is my victory. Fear says, your win is my loss. We treat God like the lottery. Someone's got the ticket, and if it's not me, I lost out. Faith says, your win is my win. Because our Heavenly Father is a good Father. The kingdom of God is actually the opposite of the scarcity mentality, the scarcity mindset. And in fact, when you see the blessing and the abundance of favor on someone's life in whatever area it is, it's actually a testimony of what he's able to reproduce in you. We know in Revelation 19:10, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means what God has done in someone else's life can become a blueprint for what he'll do in mine. And perhaps if I celebrate that thing, I will begin to create the character to sustain the thing that God wants to do in me. I literally started making it a point that I went over the top to celebrate people that were getting the things that I wanted to get. Because I knew, God, you're wanting to do something in me, but I don't have the character yet to sustain it. I challenge you to just try that. If you want a new car, the next person that you find that gets the car, literally go up to them and say, that is so awesome. Let me see it. Gas them up. Show me the interior. Tell me about the horsepower. Have fun with it. Watch what happens within you. This is too practical for some people, I'm telling you. Watch what heaven will do. Paul says in Romans to rejoice with those who rejoice. I don't think we're very good at that, folks. I feel a little a Pentecostal. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I never claimed to be a vocalist. Oh, there it is. Yes. Ha! God says you're going to tread on serpents. Again, to all of our guests, I'm so sorry. It's really not fair that you're here, but alas, you get me. I want to talk about the mechanics of reaping and sowing because I think that what is interesting about it is it's a bit mysterious. It will confound us. How many of you know that sometimes we will sow something and then reap almost instantaneously? And those are fun stories. I love that. I remember one time a few years ago, Aaron and I went to a gala for a ministry that we support on a monthly basis. Beautiful ministry. They rescue children out of slavery in India. I mean, it's just amazing. They plant thousands of churches. They dig drills for clean water. I mean, it's just amazing. Anyway, so we're at this gala, and we decided we're going to do something. And so I came to the event with a blank check, and as we're pulling into the parking lot, I just said to Aaron, I said, sweetheart, let's just pray and ask the Lord, like, to give us a number, and we'll just see what he says. So we're going through the night, and it's beautiful, and I'm super emotional because I'm a crier, and I feel like God gives me a number. And I'm going to be honest, guys, sometimes you, like, you hear the number, and you're like, that can't be right. That had to have been the pizza, you know? That sounds a lot higher than what I'm comfortable with, right? And so I lean over to Aaron and I said, hey, babe, you know, do you feel like you have an impression, like a sense from God, like what we're supposed to give? And she gives me the exact same number, to the dollar. Well, now I know it's God. So I'm begrudgingly writing the check. No, I'm just kidding. And so we just say, for us, it represented a sacrificial amount of money. I mean, for us, it was a lot at the time. And so we write this check and we give it. And how many of you know that when it's a sacrifice, there's a little pain that you feel? Can we just be honest about it? You know, that's normal. That's a good thing. And so the very next day, as we stated earlier, I own this business and we sell industrial bearings. I received the largest order that I had ever received the very next day. The profits of that order was more than what we gave in one order. That's supposed to be like an annual gift, just to put it in context, instantly the next day. But how many of you know that God also sometimes, you reap what you sow and it looks like 30 years from now. It's not instantaneous. And in fact, you don't even necessarily always recognize it. All I can tell you is that he's faithful to his word. Where is it at? I gotta say it. It's in here. You just... Oh, I also wanted to mention this. I think it's important to, you know, sometimes I think that in that instance, that story I just told, we were asking Holy Spirit what to give. You know, sometimes, and hopefully many times, as we begin to develop the nature and character of Christ, and we have his mind, we just give because we want to. Yeah. Guys, I think sometimes we're more spiritual than Jesus is. Yeah. You know what I started doing? I'm dead serious. You know what I used to do? Am I wrong? Eric's with me. No one else is. This is what we do. I guarantee you I'm not the only person to do this, but you guys don't raise your hand. I'll tell on me. Someone comes up to you. Hey, man, how you doing? Things are rough right now. We're really struggling financially. Hey, dude, I'll pray for you. What are we doing, folks? You know what I started doing? Forget that. Get your phone out. You got Zelle. You got Cash App. Come here. Let me just send you something. I don't need Holy Spirit to tell me to give you something. I have his mind. I have his nature. I have his character. We're waiting on God to tell... Eric, what's that quote? You know, I love that quote. Say it for me. You know what I'm talking about? About making decisions. If God... I just got to, you guys got to hear that. This, just one more time.
If God makes every decision for you, then you'll have nothing to give an account for at the end of your life.
Well, you know, right now my son is 3. We pick out virtually all of his clothes, give him all his feed. If I'm still doing that with him when he's 19, we got a problem. This is how a lot of Christians still treat the father they've been walking with him for 20 years, but they want him to tell them how to make every single step. And now I sometimes just want to look at people and say what Jesus said to the disciples, you feed them. Do you not bear my name? Have I not blessed you? But the mechanics of abundance is kind of tricky. And the truth is, as Westerners, this is what we want to do. We want to rationalize it. We treat scripture in a very pragmatic, linear way. And so we're looking and we hear that first verse in 2 Corinthians 9, like, okay. And we treat it like a formula. All I got to do is sow generously and I'll reap generously. So we think of it as like 1 + 1 = 2. That's how Westerners read scripture. But here's the problem with that. There it is. Yes. Formulas. We want formulas for prosperity. But how many of you know relationships are never formulaic? In many ways, formulas are the antithesis of relationship. They rely on set rules and predictable patterns as opposed to dynamic relational interaction. Formulas bypass intimacy and forego connection. They prioritize results over relationship. And ultimately, they're a means of control that we use to produce the desired outcome. So we read 2 Corinthians. If you're like me, I'll just tell on myself. And I go, oh, perfect. I got a formula for success. And God's going, no, 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 no. You have a formula for relationship. If I were to try to, it's actually comical to think about, like, imagine implementing formulas in the context of a marital relationship. Like, if I do the dishes, plus I play with the kids, then later, but how many of you know relationships don't work like that? You can laugh. Oh, my God. Listen, How many of you know that sex is a gift from God? Amen? I said it's a gift. I just got back from the Caribbean, y'all. I have the distinct sense that this message is both the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last time you'll ever see me up here. But seeing how it is that I still have the mic, Eric just looked at me and he was like, that's not true, that's a joke. I need to land the plane. There's so much that I wanted to share with you. I'm really guilty of when I do this. I create notes that's great for like 4 sermons. And I only get the one. Wow. The last dynamic that I would want to mention that I don't have a lot of time to go into about abundance is simply stewardship, you guys. You know, when I was young, and I think it's innocent enough, I just believed like, okay, I want to be wealthy. I'm asking God to trust me with significant resource. Build the character, whatever it takes to be wealthy so that I can be radically generous and do amazing things for the kingdom of God. I felt that way. And what I sincerely believed is if I just prayed enough, if I just read my Bible enough and fasted, that God would just do it. And you know what I realized? Asking God to make me wealthy in that way is the same as saying, like, I want to be in the best shape of my life, and I'm just going to pray that God does it. God, just make me, like, jacked, like, just absolutely ripped, but I'm not going to go to the gym, and I'm not going to change my diet. That's how we approach abundance in the kingdom of heaven. And we wonder why the world scratches our head. They're like, what's your plan? And so there's an element of this conversation that I wish I had more time, and this is, of course, for me in entrepreneurship. Everybody should start a business tomorrow. It's where we take the gifts that God has given us and we actually build wealth. If you read the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas, he actually rebukes the servant who does nothing with the money. And what's even more controversial, most of us would not like in today's context, is he takes that money and gives it to the person with the most. Most of us would give it to the person with the next least, right? Not God. Because he's saying, who is going to maximize the profit on this return? So there's a practical side. It's like we want to walk in abundance, but we don't want to take any risk. We want to walk in abundance, but we don't want to take any risk. I'm going to wrap up with this. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. This is bizarre. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is impossible to please God unless you believe that he rewards you for seeking him earnestly. So what does faith actually look like in this context? Well, I think that the best way that I've heard it said is how John Wimber says it. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So there's an element of risk, and I love this in the conversation of business and entrepreneurship. It's like I talk to people sometimes, they want all the reward, but they don't want to take any of the risk. It's kind of laughable, you guys. And God's saying, I want to bless you. I want to pour out abundance, but get some skin in the game. Do the work. Let my Holy Spirit, my anointing, my favor combine with your efforts, and let's see what can happen. But asking God to simply just drop it in our lap is like giving a 10-year-old a Lamborghini and saying, go drive. It's disastrous. We need the character, we need the skills to sustain the business that God wants to give us, or whatever means of establishing that abundance. Amen? All right, you guys stand with me.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.